Good morning, everybody. We are honored and humbled to be here, and I loved what your leader said about standing, because I'm going to ask you to do it one more time. And it's for a very specific reason. These two, as your apostolic leaders, Wes and Janet Chambers, I want you to recognize them, please, and honor them. Hallelujah. What they've been doing, they shared in their story last night for 31 years, is incredible. And we know that God's involved to do what they've done here and what you've overcome and how you persevere as the Living Water Church community. Candace and I are in awe. We really are. Just watching you this morning, it reminds me, I can't speak for Candace, but it reminds me so much of the ministry, the church that we had in Jacksonville, Florida. So many of the things that are going on here are what we would do because we believe the kingdom of God is here. Like, we didn't only teach the gospel of salvation, we taught the gospel of the kingdom, because the gospel of salvation is very important. It's a part of the gospel of the kingdom. And so we believed every time we met, healing would occur. Praise and worship goes on. Preaching of the word goes on. You know, opportunities to expand our faith. So I just wanted to honor you two and have the people here, you know, just give you a chance to receive from them their love and gratitude. And you guys are so humble. So we are blessed that God has put you here in New Zealand, in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you all. I think you can sit now. And it's okay if you want to stand when you hear some of the things that you're going to hear, because I think at times, like Apostle Wes said, you know, either going to our knees or standing and honoring the King of Kings whenever it seems befitting to you is appropriate. So, yes, like you heard, I was in the Navy for 22 years. I did that. During my journey, like all of us, we all have our testimonies and journey, and the Lord, I finally submitted to the Lord, and once he got a hold of me, I'm doing what I'm doing now. And we were pastors of a church for 15 years, and now we do this. We go out and we go wherever people want to receive what we have to hear to encourage the leaders as well as the assemblies. And so I believe today you're going to hear and receive in a new and fresh way, in a new and fresh way. And what I need to also let you know is many of the things you're going to hear, your own house leadership has been teaching, but what seems to happen whenever a guest comes in is the people go, wow, they're just so amazing. Like they've never heard it before, but the house mom and dad are like, what? Come on, we've been talking about these very same things. So, hallelujah. Go ahead, dear.
So, yes, we're so honored to be here with you in New Zealand. We went to Australia before coming here to New Zealand, and we were just up in Auckland ministering there. Came down here for a few days. We're going to go back to Auckland, and then we're going to Hawaii for about 2 weeks, and we'll be ministering there as well. I know.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, I still
somebody's got
up,
listen.
So,
and know. That's, in fact, you need to hear this. This is where, Hawaii is where Candace and I met in 1989, and we got married in 1990 while I was stationed there, so it's very special to us.
So we minister in Hawaii about twice a year. We have lots of churches that we go and visit on a variety of islands. And so we'll be going back for one of our twice-a-year visits to Hawaii to minister. But this is our first time down under.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And thanks to Apostle Wes and Janet opening up the house to us, we get an opportunity to come to Christ Church.
Yeah, amen.
I know. Over dinner last night, I was like, well, tell me like the history of Christ Church, because just coming to a place with that name is just so anointed. And you know,
it's also intimidating. Just being honest, I'm like, oh my gosh, are things different down here? Like, are they going to worship Jesus different? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just was like, I don't know, Christ Church, that's like the best name ever.
It's the best name ever. It truly is. I know, it's wonderful. You guys are planted right here. And so so we're excited. We've ministered in about 35 nations. I think this makes like our 36th nation or something. Yeah, so it's wonderful to have the opportunity to fly all over the world and really just share.
I'm not doing the flying, by the way.
No, he's not flying this time, which is probably good for both of us. But we are here, excited to be here, and just blessed to be able to bring you a word in due season.
Amen.
So actually, this is a prophetic word for this time of year. One of the specialties that Adam and I have in the kingdom of God is that we minister on the Hebrew calendar. How many of you all are familiar with God's calendar, the Hebrew calendar? Yeah. So prophetically, this is a very, very unique time that God has brought us here to this house. And God just began to download to me just a tremendous amount of prophetic revelation in regards to what the time and season is right now and this great move that you all are about ready to take.
Yeah.
In just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Of course, we didn't know any of this until we came in town. And then as Wes and Janet are sharing with us, I'm just like, wow, Lord, you know. And God always surprises us prophetically when he sends us somewhere. And then we realize, hey, I think we know why we were sent to Christ Church at this time. So you're getting ready for this amazing Behold the Command of the King Conference, right?
Yeah,
praise
hallelujah.
The Lord.
Coming up. This week.
And that's getting ready to take place on Thursday night. The summit's going to start. And on Thursday night starts Purim, the Feast of Purim, which is the exact night that Esther would have gone before the king and she would have asked for her nation to be saved. It's the time that she would have called for a 3-day fast. And Apostle West was talking about purification, right? A time of purification before some decrees are coming. And I was fascinated to find out that the name of the conference is Behold the Command of the King, because exactly what happened in Esther was that the king had to issue a decree that the people would indeed be saved if Esther came to the forefront and stood for her nation. If she decided that she would speak up, and no matter what, that she would step into the fullness of promotion that God had given her by putting her in the palace. So from a prophetic standpoint, this is a time, and we've been in this for the last couple weeks, and we're going to be in this till the end of March. I'll explain that to you, and of course Adam's going to share too. But this is a time where God promotes his people before he shifts them into a new year.
Amen. So just like all of that, but you know, the book of Esther is so, it's only 10 chapters, okay? It's the only book in our Bible of the 66 books that never mentions the name of God. A lot of people through the ages have wondered if that should have been in there, but here's something else that's very intriguing. The book of Esther, in those 10 chapters, summarizes the entire Bible of the story, the narrative. Let me explain. The king, King Xerxes, there's characters. Each of the main five characters in the book of Esther represent a main character in spirituality, in our understanding. King Xerxes represents God. What do I mean? Because his bride, Vashti, was the disobedient bride that he gets rid of. And Esther becomes his new bride, the faithful bride, the church that is obedient and faithful. Okay? Then you have Mordecai. He's the uncle of Esther. He kind of raises her because her parents, you read the story, her parents are dead and he's raising her. But Mordecai represents Jesus because he's always watching out to protect her. And he also, when Haman, the last character, he represents the Satan. When Haman gets the power from King Xerxes as the number two in charge, everyone was supposed to bow to him, but the only one who didn't bow was Mordecai. Jesus was the only one who would not bow to Satan. So just so you understand, like this book, so if you haven't read it or you haven't read it in a while, I want to encourage you this week to understand how it impacts you here in New Zealand. You guys as a group, any remnant, God will use. If they will unite, be together, and stand for his principles. So as you're getting pretty prepared for this meeting this week, this prophetic conference, and also what's going on individually with you all in this church move in 3 weeks. There's a lot going on where you can day by day live out as the bride of Christ. You can. You can live out, and just so you know, guys, we're the bride too. Okay? Just so you know, we're the bride of Christ. So it's something to act out, and if you've never read this or it's been a while, I want to encourage you to read that again so you understand the depth of what God's word is talking about for this season, going on right now, this leading up to this week.
So, and you can, of course, read about how Esther really stepped into her promotion in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But that's not the scripture that I want to focus on right now. Because we're coming up on this conference, and I just have to say this prophetically, this conference is going to be for 3 days. In this year of 2025, this is a very, very special year for the Feast of Purim in Israel. It normally just lasts for 24 hours, so it would go from Thursday night to Friday night. But this particular year, it will go for 3 days straight. Yes, it's a special one, and it's called Purim Meshulash. It's a triple Purim, and it spans 3 days in Jerusalem within the walled cities. Now, since it's titled Behold the Command of the King, and Adam just shared with you about Mordecai and who he represents, I want to read Esther chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. So this says specifically what happens on what would be Thursday night, the 13th, okay, and as we go into the 14th and the 15th also of March. So it says, upon one day in the provinces of King Xerxes, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. On the Hebrew calendar, this is the month of Adar. So this is talking about that exact day. Okay, so the night that the conference starts, it will indeed be the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar, right there in the Word of God. There is a copy of the writing for a commandment to be given to every province. It was published to all the people, and the Jews would be ready that day to avenge themselves against all enemies. It was a special day in which the Jewish people were rising. And then Mordecai comes out from the presence of the king, King Xerxes, in royal apparel. He wears blue and white. He has a great crown of gold. And he has a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. So Mordecai was being recognized, just like Adam shared, as Jesus would be recognized. And he's wearing all the fine linens and a gold crown. And it says that the people rejoiced, they were glad, they had light, gladness, joy, and honor. And what did Apostle Wes talked during the prophetic time all about honoring? And as this conference comes up, it's about honoring the commandment of the king, right? In every province, in every city, wherever the king's command was and his decree came, the Jews had joy, gladness, a feast, and a good day. And the people of the land came to know who they are. They came to step in. And, of course, it's about the Jews. They step into their nationality of being Jewish. For the fear of the Jews and who the people were fell upon the entire nation. So God turned everything around, right? The Jews were going to be annihilated, but what did God do in the end? He totally reversed it. He raised them up, and then he promoted them.
Hallelujah.
And then it says that many came to become Jewish as a result.
Uh-huh.
It was absolutely amazing. So as God sets you all up for your conference, the title of the conference, the people that are coming, God is positioning them for their promotions, for the new year that's approaching, the month of Nisan. Let's just mention that here. That's going to begin on Saturday, March 29th, and it ends on Sunday, March 30th. What day are you moving? It's amazing. It's the...
Now, listen, I want to share another scriptural tie-in here, another understanding of faith. Because what's going on here requires faith. Okay? So let me give you a story that's a real story that happened in 2004 at the Olympics, leading up to the Olympics in Athens, in Greece, in 2004. Now, for that Olympics, the torch went around the world because they were celebrating the modern-day Olympic celebration. Where usually the Olympics every 4 years, whatever nation has it, it kind of stays within that nation. Well, not that year. So it was during the time that the Italian bicycle team was getting the torch. And these bicycle riders would take the torch and ride their bikes. Now, if you've ever watched one of these professional bike racers, they go very fast. And everywhere they go, though, the streets are lined with spectators. They usually have a motorcycle or two following or in front of them with camera guys. Okay, are you familiar with this? Have you ever seen that? So they were coming into a town in Italy, and the rider, let's just call him a good Italian name. I don't know what his name is. Let's just go with Mario. Okay, so Mario's riding his bike, getting into the town. He's got to slow down a little bit, and somehow he gets entangled. He loses control, and he crashes and goes through the crowd into a ditch. He drops the torch, and the torch goes out. The people did exactly what you did. The Olympic torch is out. It never goes out, right? It doesn't go out. That's one of the things. The fire never goes out. So, Mario is probably like, oh my gosh, I'm the guy that I aborted the destiny of the Olympics. He's speaking in Italian probably, so I can't do that. But all of a sudden, up comes a white van with the Olympic rings on it. Out from the passenger side, out jumps a little guy with a white suit. He runs around the van, goes down in the ditch, picks up the torch that's unlit, goes to the back of the van where two more guys, like guards, are standing guard. They open up the back of the van, and inside the van is the mother flame, the original flame. In other words, and so he reignites it, you know. Now, here's what you got to take away. They don't trust you with the real flame. Now, get to where I'm going here. Here's the deal when I'm talking about faith and what's going on. And this applies all the time, but you've got some significant events going on right here in Christ Church, in your assembly, in your congregation. Here's the deal. Mario gets the torch back. He's probably severely relieved, like, whew, so glad I wasn't the one that, you know, they had the original torch there. It's not me. But here's the takeaway for us. If your faith is waning, if your fire is waning in the Lord, you don't have the original flame, and thank God for it. Just go back to the original source and reignite your torch. I think you're starting to smell what I'm cooking. But do you see the tie-in of what we're talking about? See, this faith thing, it's in every single aspect of what we do as a Christian. And it's impossible, the Word of God says, it's impossible. If we want to please the Father, it's impossible to please Him without faith. Now, the enemy, his whole objective is to make us live in fear. Every single thing, and you know, you all got your own issues, you know things you've overcome, but I'll guarantee you, fear was involved in it somehow. And so that's just something to take. In addition to this, is understand, as you're going forth in this move physically, in what coming up with Purim, in this conference, I want to encourage you, if you're lacking a little bit of your faith or your spark, just go back to the original source, okay? Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. We all need to have our faith increased and have that torch, that flame just burning. And especially if God is calling us to make a move, because one of the elders was up here talking during the announcement time about how everybody's got to pack up, you know, like there's stuff that has to be done, you know, and that can actually wear out a congregation sometimes, right? So we have to keep our focus on the Lord while we're doing the things that God is calling us to do in order to step into the new season that God has for us.
Amen.
And actually, this new season is really amazing because you all are moving right at the exact time that the calendar turns over to the month of Nisan. And Nisan is known by God as the very first month on the religious calendar year. If you go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, that's the day that God spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Let this be the first day of your brand new year." Now, why did he say this? He said this because the people had been yanked out of Egypt, and he was moving them in to the promised land. It was going to be a long journey before they got there. And he wanted to make sure that the calendar was brand new so that they would have a spiritual marker to represent their shift from Egypt to the promised land.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very interesting that you all are moving on the exact day where God says, "Let's leave this behind and let's go on to something
listen,
new."
Listen, just like I heard Pastor say about this, sure, there's some incredible things that have gone on here.
Yes,
we're not saying forget that, but here's the deal. You're going to a new place. Don't put boundaries on that new place. Okay, enjoy, like, some of the best prophetic advice I ever got was from a hockey player, Wayne Gretzky. Here's what Wayne Gretzky said at the end of his career. He was asked, "How did you do so well?" And this is what he said. "While everyone was skating to where the puck is, I was skating to where the puck was going." What does that mean prophetically for us? Yes, celebrate where God is. He's here right now. Celebrate it, but keep an eye for where he's going. Then you will always experience the flame and fire of God, right? Hallelujah.
So anytime we come into a brand new year on the religious calendar, there is always a time of cleansing. And so what happens 14 days after the beginning of Nisan is Passover. That's where, if you continue to read in Exodus chapter 12, you're going to read about the fact that on the 10th day of Nisan, they took a lamb, right? And there are specific instructions about how the lamb needed to be killed, and then the blood of the lamb was going to go on the door posts so that when the angel of death, the last final plague, came through, all of those that were inside the house would be saved, would be healed, would be redeemed, right? And of course, for us, if we fast forward to the New Testament, we know that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us so that our doorposts and our door frames would have the blood of Jesus so that every enemy assigned to us would have to pass over and that we would be victorious in every way. I mean, ultimately, that's the essence of what we remember as Good Friday and or Resurrection Sunday, which will be happening right around that same time. And so it's a very, very important time because as you all shift over to your new home, there's going to be automatically the time of remembering Passover and, of course, Resurrection Sunday.
Hallelujah.
So it's not only promotion that's happening now, but then you're stepping into a new year, a new place, everything, and then you're going to go directly into a time of Passover and a time of cleansing. Now, I just want to share this with you because the first 3 months of the religious calendar year are the most exciting. They reveal so much about who God is. So you have Nisan, which is that first month, and we've got Passover in that. We've got that cleansing time. But then you come into the second month, and the second month is Iyar. And what you find in the month of Iyar is that's the month that the Israelites were in the desert. And, you know, we often think of the desert time as, oh, what a difficult and miserable experience for them. No, it wasn't.
Come on.
Every day they got up, and they had manna in their front yard.
Food was brought right to their door.
Quail was waiting for them. They had the royal robes of Egypt upon them. Their shoes did not wear out. Come on, every day God revealed a new aspect of who he is and made supernatural provision for them. Come on, I'm going to prophesy right now to this house that as you come into this brand new year and you step into ER, which is going to be around the end of April, you're going to see an enormous supernatural move of God in this house because you would have stepped into new territory. Into a new place. I believe that God's going to call new people that have not stepped into this tent. He's going to bring some new and fresh blood into this house, some new and fresh people into this house that want to hear and want to step into new revelations of supernatural provision.
Now, and listen, you cannot go doubtful on us now on this. You have got to get a renewed mind if you have trouble with any of the things you're hearing. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Then, and only then, will you be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Now, here's another. So that was the Apostle Paul writing that to the Roman church. Well, back up a couple of decades when Jesus is talking to the gang. And he's like, hey, you got to understand. You do not put the new wine into an old wineskin. What's he talking about? Remember, when he's talking about this, he's talking about you do not put the Holy Spirit into the old cranium. It will not work. You, in other words, you've got to get a new mind skin to go along with the new Holy Spirit you have. Now, that what's interesting is when you study this in the Greek, and that's recorded in two of the Gospels where Jesus is talking about the new wine into the new wineskin. And the word new is used to talk about a new wine and new wineskin. The first time it's used to say the new wine, that word new means new in quantity. The second time for the new wineskin, that new means new in quality. So if you're getting an abundance from God, but you don't have the right container to hold it, meaning if you don't have a renewed mind, it's not going to stay. It's going to ooze out. But if you get a new mind skin, you can hold the new wine, which is going to show you what? Healings, prophecies, all of the gifts of the Spirit that many times our brain says, I don't believe that. That's not for me. I don't think God. And God's doing miracles all the time. I'm just telling you. And I can speak to this. Why? Because I was on that other side at a time. I'd be like, that ain't for me. That ain't real. And you know why? Because sometimes us humans, us people, to do ministry, you got to be involved. You don't have ministry without humans. And we're peculiar. We're weird, wild, wacky, all this kind of stuff. But in order to do ministry, you got to do stuff with the weird, wild, and wacky people. And sometimes the weird, wild, and wackiness of us puts on a show. Sometimes. But there's other times where it's authentic. So you got to kind of fish through this. And so the things that you're going to be partaking again, I hope one of the themes, I hope you're gleaning this today, is as you leave today, you got to go out here and go, okay, there's possibly some things that I myself need to look at myself in the mirror and go, you got to change. You don't need to look to your neighbor or your spouse or your friend or your boss or your coworker. You got enough when you look in the mirror. I'm telling you, our plate is full. If we're really honest. And that's the time of year we're in. He wants us to come to the table and be as pure as possible. The only way you do that is by looking in the mirror at that person you see and going, stop that. Stop making lies. Stop cheating, stealing, all these things, these little things that you stop rationalizing. Stop making excuses. Do not follow what Adam and Eve did in a garden and blame the other one. You take ownership of your mistakes. You take ownership of those wrongdoings. You don't have to be ashamed. You want to know why? Because God is so loving, he gives us a chance to repent. I mean, is that just not, we don't want to do that to other people, but he does it all the time. It don't matter how many of you guys go, oh my gosh, that was like, I forgot about it. God hasn't. He wants you to own up to it. And he has so much for you. He has so much for each one of us. Many times, though, he's like, I can't give you that yet because you haven't conquered that thing. You keep lying, cheating, and stealing about it. You keep rationalizing about it. You keep pushing it under the rug. You're not dealing with it, so we're going to go around the mountain again. Or we're going to go out in the desert again. Until you get it figured out and be honest. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I don't know if I'm making friends, but to be honest, I'm not really that concerned. I want to please him. I'm just looking over your heads anyway. Not looking at your faces.
So God is preparing you for this move. So in line even with Dr. Adams said about the fact that we have to pay attention to our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions as we get ready to shift, right, to this new location that God has for you. And so God's going to reveal some great supernatural provision. And I believe you're going to see new levels of signs, miracles, and wonders.
Hallelujah.
There's going to be a fresh overflow of new wine in the house.
Hallelujah.
We're going to declare that and decree that today.
Hallelujah.
New wine coming forth, new and fresh fire.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And then what happens the following month? Okay, so I've taken you through first month of the year, second month of the year. The third month is the month of Sivan. And what is so beautiful about Sivan is it's the month that the Jewish people were called by God to come to the base of Mount Sinai.
Yep.
And it was there that God said to them, come to the base of Mount Sinai because I want to reveal to you who I am and my commandments. And so then God began to give the people the Ten Commandments. And we know in Hebrews chapter 12 that is representative of the fear and the trembling that came on the mountain, right? But we know it also as a time of Acts chapter 2, where
yep.
they went up into the upper room and they received the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Came upon them, and God's laws were written on the hearts and minds of the
Amen.
People,
Hallelujah.
And they received a fresh touch of the
yes.
Holy Spirit's
yes.
power, because
yes.
Jesus had come, and then he had died, buried, resurrected to defeat sin, death, and the grave, and then he had ascended, and 10 days later, he sent the power of the Holy Spirit. So I believe when you go into this new place, then not only are you going to have supernatural provision, but you're going to have a new and fresh power of the Holy Spirit come upon Living Waters Church. New and fresh move that is going to empower you all to be ones sent out in your community. Sent out to nations.
Hallelujah.
In other levels. So this is an exciting time. Whenever we close things down and then we move on to what's new, and of course, you can't get more prophetic than this, having it happen exactly on the same days. And then, of course, the conference this week, which is this weekend, during the Feast of Purim, which is always 2 weeks before the brand new calendar turns over.
Hallelujah. Something just hit me that I need to share with you about unity. And I like to use examples that most of us have seen from either real life events or this case, I want to use a movie. The movie is Gladiator. And I'm hoping a lot of you saw it. It came out in 2000. Russell Crowe was the star. He played Maximus. And it's during one of the scenes, it's actually the scene when the gladiators get to Rome for the first time. And they're going to have their first event in the stadium, and they're supposed to all be the victims. They're going to all get killed. The gladiators were just expendable. I mean, they'd fight, put on a show, but if they died, so be it. They're there for entertainment. That's how sick the culture was, right? So he's going out, and before he goes out, they get out to the gates drawn, and they're not out into the center of the Colosseum. He goes to the guys, hey, whatever comes out of that other tunnel against us, we have a better chance of survival if we stand together. And some of the guys were with him when he was the general. You know, they're like, I was with you, general, and all this. And he's like, good. You know, we can do this. And he was basically at that point saying, listen, we get out here, I'm going to start giving commands. And if you follow them, we're going to live. We have a better chance of living. So, right, the movie, you know, gets going. They go out there, and out comes the guys that are going to battle them are on chariots with horses. And the gladiators are just on foot with a shield and maybe a weapon, and that's it. So the advantage is to the horses and the chariot riders. And there's enough, you know, there's like a half a dozen or so. And there's maybe, I don't know if I remember right, maybe 15 gladiators. So what goes on is one of, the, you know, and he says, come together, come together. And so most of the gladiators come together in the center. A few are out by themselves. And you remember, they're getting killed by the arrows, the spears, because they're by themselves. Christians, don't be a lone wolf. You got to stay together in a congregation. I get it. You might get hurt. But please, and please, if you're hurt, go talk to the individual that hurt you. Do a Romans. Come on. Just go tell them. Don't, and people, if somebody comes to you with hurt from somebody else, please go tell them. Because then guess what stops? Gossip. It's like a 2-for-1. So anyway, they come together. A few of the guys that went by themselves get killed. One of the chariots has had it now because he's kind of frustrated. These guys are working together. We can't have that. So he takes his horse and his chariot, and he's going kind of for the gladiators. And now Russell Crowe, Maximus, is like, come together, and they have shields, okay? And they do this thing where they lock their shields. They got it from the Greeks. The Romans are doing this now, but they picked it up from, if you ever saw Spartacus or 300, you know what I'm talking about. So they got their shields, and he's going, come together, and they're coming, and he says, hold, hold, and then he shouts, as one, right before the chariot comes. And they bond really strong, and the chariot goes by and does no damage. Now, the charioteer is a little taken back by this. He's a little ticked off. So he's going to come this time, but he's going to hit him this time instead of going, like, right near him. So Maximus this time is telling him again, hold, hold. But this time, Maximus gives a different command. A part of the group is going to jut out with their shields, and he goes, diamond. He shouts diamond. Now, it's hard maybe here in the movie, but I read the script. Any of us can read it. So I read it because I was like, what did he say? He didn't say as one. He said something different, and I couldn't really hear it. He says diamond. And what that was a move the Roman army did, and they jut out. And when they jutted out, the wheel of the chariot ran up the side and tipped over. Right? You remember the scene? And then what happens? You know, they got him. They killed him. They get the horse. And remember, Maximus jumps on the horse. He gets that sword thrown to him, and the weird Caesar, right? He's all freaked out. He's like, whoa, because he's flipping his, because he's a warrior. He's the general. And so he gets on. But what happened? Let me fast forward. The gladiators end up winning the battle. Now, the crowd, which is, they don't know any better. They're just living in the culture. People out here that don't know Christ, they don't know. If Christians will unite, we can change the crowd, because the crowd, all of a sudden at the start, was not cheering for the gladiators. It was cheering for the gladiators to be killed. They're now applauding the gladiators because they defeated the people that came to kill them. And so I use that as an example. As Christians, if we unite, we can change the atmosphere. We can change the crowd's idea of what it is to be a Christian if we can unite. Okay, I get it. So, hallelujah. I think now what you're doing is you're tasting what I'm chewing. Hallelujah.
I am not going to taste what you're chewing.
Oh, that's okay. That's 35 years, huh?
Yeah, no. I want my own meal. Thank you very much. No, but this is some really encouraging word about uniting not only for your move, but uniting for your nation.
Amen.
Right? You love New Zealand.
Amen.
And you want to see New Zealand one for Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, you want to see New Zealand beholding the commandments of the
Hallelujah.
King and honoring God. And, you know, God will take a remnant of people that are on fire for him.
Yeah.
And he will use that remnant to change an entire nation. We saw it happen in the United States of America. He took a remnant of people. And he changed some tremendous things in our nation as a result. But it was the praying Christians. It was the ones that were interceding. It's the ones that were standing. It's like who you are in this house. Spending your time in praying, fasting, giving, believing God, being stretched by the word of God, wanting to see God do amazing things and not be willing to be a bystander, but to get in the fight.
It's the ones who've been knocked down that got back up.
Yes.
We all get knocked down. It's what we do with the knockdownness. Are we going to stay there? Sometimes, and that's why you need to be part of a body, because then somebody's going to come along and go, hey, it's time to get back up. We need you.
Yes.
We need you. You have gifts, and we're suffering because your gifts are, we need you. We need you. The church body needs you because you have gifts.
That's right.
The body, right? Jesus is the head. Church is the body. The finger can't do what the toe does. The knee can't do what the elbow does. Each of you have gifts. We need you to jointly fit together and unite so you can be a well-functioning body. Hallelujah.
So as we're getting ready to close down here, we're going to have just a quick time of impartation. But before we shift to that, some of the stuff that I've been talking about in regards to the Hebrew calendar may be new to some of you. I have a book that is at the front over here. I don't have very many copies because we've been traveling so much and kind of dropping them at different locations. But you can also get all of our books on, they're on Amazon, but some of these books are in your Christian bookstores here in New Zealand. Someone told me about that when I was in Auckland. They said, your books are here. So what we don't have at the front, you can pick up. But this one is 365 prophetic revelations from the Hebrew calendar. So if you grab a hold of it, what it does is it helps you integrate the Gregorian calendar with the Hebrew calendar. So today is March 9th on the Gregorian calendar, but it's the ninth day of Adar on the Hebrew calendar. And Adar is the 12th month of the religious calendar year. And so if you get the book and you go to the back and you look at the 12th month, you can join in starting today on the ninth day of Adar. And then I explained in the beginning, you know, why should Christians know about the Hebrew calendar? What's the importance? What's the significance of it? Well, indeed, it's God's calendar. And so the Gregorian calendar is not, and or the Julian calendar, which was also used by the Catholic Church. So we happen to be on the Gregorian calendar because the Council of Nicaea in AD 425 signed us onto that. So many times we miss.
I was just going to say, the whole reason was it to get us away from the Jewish festivals. Yeah. It was to get us off the Jewish festivals. Yeah. The first church celebrated the Jewish festivals for a couple of centuries. It was to get us off of God's calendar so we would be misaligned with our Creator. It's hard for us. We were born into the Gregorian calendar. So when we taught this the day one we started our first church, and people were like, huh? And then they'd see it, and we'd show them in the scriptures. They'd be like, what? How come we're not doing it? Well, that's a different topic. But we're going to teach and do it. And so that's what stirred this, because Candace and I did this the whole time we started in 2004 on radio and television.
So when you're involved in a prophetic movement, many times prophets are going to prophesy because they hear what God is telling them in a moment. But if they know the Hebrew calendar, they're actually prophesying exactly what the Hebrew calendar is saying.
Hallelujah.
But they don't know it.
Yeah.
So you know, we can hear collectively the prophetic voice of God, the church can, and we can begin to start stepping forward in it. But if we know and understand the Hebrew calendar, we can catch up with, we can agree with what the Hebrew calendar is also saying at that moment, because part of the Hebrew calendar is God revealing himself to the people every single month of the year. See, God never wants to stop revealing who he is to us. And prophecy is that very thing. It's revealing who God is in a moment, in a sphere of influence, to change it and impact it. And so God is doing this all over the world. So if he can bring his church back into alignment with the Hebrew calendar, which was lost more than 2,025 years ago, then we can all be together prophesying collectively about who God reveals himself to be each and every month and celebrating his feast together. This being the Feast of Purim, you're going to celebrate this weekend at the Hope Behold Conference. And then right after that, celebrating The Feast of Passover.
God gets a bad rap, man, because he loves to party.
He does. He loves to party.
He loves to, if you see these parties, they're a week long.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's so that's why we would do it. And people are like, oh my gosh, and people get so excited because here's another tidbit. I heard your apostle talk, you know, about the offering. And give you a great teaching because this is always a struggle. Our pocketbooks are a struggle. It's not yours. Everything is God's. He gives us stewardship over everything, okay? He's delegated authority. But God, during these festivals, there was a time for each of these three times a year to come before the Lord and bring an offering.
It's Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles.
Yep. And so, what you know, spring, early summer, and fall for in America. For you guys, that would be coming up on fall, winter, and spring.
Spring.
Okay. That wasn't bad. I did okay. But so our people, when they heard this, because we'd fast and pray as a church and bring an offering per God's word at the end, we do teaching about it during that 2 or 3 weeks or just 1 week, whenever it applied. And the people got so excited. They'd be like, when can I bring that special offering to God? And then we'd share testimonies through the years. We'd have people just come and bring your testimony. And they'd share, oh my gosh, how God is just pouring out blessings to us. You don't do the giving to get blessed. You just receive blessings because he's a giver.
That's right.
He gave first.
That's right.
And so we always, and I heard your leader tell you that, and I know it can be, you'd be like, well, I don't have enough. Well, sometimes the reason you don't have enough, you can't afford not to give. So I just wanted to make that plug again. You might be like, man, I don't like this guy even more now. I'll leave the mess with the house pastor.
So that's in the book, too. In the first couple of chapters, we kind of explain some of these things and what's the right times and seasons to sow into the Lord. So that's a resource at the front, too. Then just briefly, I wrote this book, Angels of Fire, The Ministry of Angels in the End Time Revival. It talks all about how God assigned an angel to you at conception. And then also all the different angels that God assigns to you for various destiny purposes that you have in the earth. So God will assign an angel to you for your destiny. But also when you go to certain places, there's different angels that will be assigned to you. And then I talk about healing angels. In the back of the book, there's information on different healing angels as well. This one here, His Sufficiency for My Authenticity, 8 Keys to Authentic Relationship with God and Others, is literally, it's a Bible study on how to be authentic with God. Now listen, you might say, well, Candace, I don't have a problem being authentic with God, but I do with other people. Well, let me tell you what, you won't with other people if you really know how to be authentic with God. So this helps you understand different aspects of who God is. It helps us take off our masks. Come on, don't you want to just be real with God about who you are and real with others about who you are? Not worrying about whether or not you're impressing somebody, but just living that authentic life.
There's
so this
much
is helpful.
Peace. There's so much peace when you're authentic.
There is. And I share a lot of my own testimony, how God had to rip me up in order to get me to be authentic. I'm just saying, right? And then this last one, we have a few others over there, but I just wanted to mention this one. This is part of our school. We have a school. It's a biblical life coaching, a transformational life coaching school. This is one of the resources in the school. It's a 6-week Bible study that takes you on the processes of soul transformation. We know that we become born again and the Spirit of the Lord lives on the inside of us, but our soul is always in process of transformation into the life of Jesus Christ, right? God wants to transform you into the likeness of his son. And that happens to take a lifetime to do. Uh-huh. But there are specific things that we can look for, understand, and join with God in that will help us be able to expedite the soul transformation process. If we've had trauma in our lives, if we've had difficult things that have arrested our development, it will cause our souls to remain hindered. And so there's certain strategies and things like that we teach in our school that kind of help you move forward beyond some of those things. And then not only do we train you in that, but then we help you train other people too. So our whole school is like a kingdom business school that not only trains coaches, but helps them be able to train others. We have lots of information on that online. But the last thing I wanted to share is up at the table, there is a sheet of paper there, and it's got a scan code. And we have a free call every month. It's an Ascend call. So we actually teach people how to live in the heavenly realms and how to stay there. So it's a prophetic teaching. It teaches you kind of how to maximize your prophetic potential, as well as learn about the Hebrew calendar. But then people come on all over the world and they interact with each other. So it's not just a teaching. It's a time for community and a time for interaction as well. And we do it once a month. So if you want any information on that, you can just scan a little code at the table and we'll have somebody reach out to you. So what I'd like to do at this point is if you all just stand to your feet here. This is a very special time that you all are entering into. We're blessed and honored to be here with you and be able to stand with Apostle Wes and Janet with the what God's called them to do and how he's called them to impact New Zealand and how he's called them to shift prophetically what's happening in New Zealand, even this weekend at the Behold Conference, but what's getting ready to happen when you leave this blessed tent. I mean, this is a blessed tent. It's a blessed tent, and there's a lot of memories here, a lot of joys, a lot of tears, a lot of healings, a lot of miracles, a lot of prophetic word that's gone out, and transformation that's been made in your nation right from here, and transformation in the world because of your online impact.
Yeah.
But God's taking you to another place, and in that other place, there's going to be a double for you.
Come on.
And we just want to agree with you for that double. And we want to agree with you because we're in this year 5785. It's a year of overwhelming grace. And so if God has chosen to move you at this most important time in his great year of grace, it's because he's going to pour out unbelievable grace on your ministry and on the impact that it has worldwide.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's going to pour it out on you individually because you're sent once. God has blessed you with his spirit on the inside, and he's given you his dunamis power and his spiritual giftings. So just lift up your hands. We want to come into agreement with you for an overwhelming activation of the gifts that God has given you.
Father.
Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you're touching your people right now with this new torch, just as Apostle Wes shared this new fire. Apostle Adam said the torch, but Apostle Wes was saying the fire.
Hallelujah.
And you know, Janet and I were feeling it in the front row. This is a special time. There's going to be fire this weekend beyond belief. There's going to be purification. There's going to be cleansing. But as you leave a place and come into a new place, God purifies, he cleanses, and he activates.
Hallelujah.
And so, God, we just come into agreement with what you're doing in accordance with the Hebrew calendar and this time and season. We come into agreement with our promotion.
Yes, hallelujah.
Just as Esther was promoted, just as Mordecai was promoted. And we thank you, Father, that Living Waters Christian Church has been promoted.
Yes, hallelujah.
And in the promotion that you've given this church, Lord, in your great sovereignty, you've chosen to shift the church body to a new location.
And Father, as you do this, Father God, we ask for not a thimble of oil like was on King Saul. We want a horn of oil that was on King David, Father God. We want an abundance of the anointing oil to flow down from the very crown of the head down to the tips of the toes of these individuals here, of what you're doing here with Living Waters, this ministry, this area, this city, this town, this community, Father God, this nation, Father God. So these people here in Christ Church, this remnant here, Father God, will have such an abundance of the light. People will ask, where have you been? What are you involved in? You are beaming. You're glowing. So, Father, we thank you for this. What an increase in faith, Father God, that's overflowing. Like the food and the basket of the fish and the bread. They're going to be told to pick up the scraps because they're going to fill all 12 baskets. There's so much left over for the people here in this facility. Father, we thank you, Lord, and ask for your continued grace, mercy, justice, love, on these people, on this community, and alert the leaders of this nation that these kind of people are going to be coming forth more bold, more courageous, Father God, than they ever have before. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just see something in the Spirit. The Lord spoke to me about the fact that Living Waters Christian Center, and I said it last night at dinner, and I really believe the weight of it, that you all have set a precedent and that God considers you to be one of the longest standing charismatic churches in this entire area. And he sees you as faithful.
Hallelujah.
He sees you as consistent. That there's a level of consistency that happens in this house that is overwhelming. And God can rely
yes.
on Living Waters Christian Center.
He can rely
Center.
On you because you've been obedient to the assignment.
And that God is raising up leaders in this church to begin to be dispersed. And what God has said about Christ Church that was written, this area that was written, what, centuries before. Let this be a new year of 2025 or a new Hebrew year as you step in to this new location where a stirring comes from the ground. I just want to speak to the wells of revival
yeah,
in the ground.
Hallelujah. Come on.
To the decrees
on,
that were
up.
Written about
yep.
what Christ's
bubble
church
up.
Was
hallelujah.
Supposed to be.
Come on.
I want to declare and decree that where the uh-huh. enemy may have come in to subside the move of God at various times in this city, that there should not be an overturning at any point, but
thank
a
Lord.
Present move forward
hallelujah.
That should remain steadfast
yes,
and consistent,
yes, yes.
just
hallelujah.
As this church is.
Hallelujah.
There should be persistence and endurance, and the gospel being spread from the highest mountain to the lowest crevice
hallelujah.
In this city.
That's
and so,
right.
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blessing. That your apostles are to this community
yes, thank you,
and
Father.
To all those that have touched
thank you, Lord.
This ministry and being
thank you, Lord.
Sent out. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.